Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to witness some scenes from the next attraction to play this theater. This picture, truly one of the most unusual ever filmed, contains scenes which under no circumstances should be viewed by anyone with a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset. We urgently recommend that if you are such a person or the parent of a young or impressionable child now in attendance, that you and the child leave the auditorium for the next 90 seconds.
Tonight on the Video Nasty Project, I want you to imagine James Bond, played by Charles Bronson, but he's not an MI6. He's a bouncer in Manchester who's a little bit overweight and in his mid-50s, but still a hard motherfucker. Tonight, we're going to be taking a look at Grievous Bodily Harm, a.k.a. just GBH. Check out the trailer and let's tear into this motherfucker.
Keller's back.
Took over the Rainbow Rooms last night. Chevy's came in on the doorman, wiped the floor.
When I say go, you'll cripple the bastard.
My club next, the Zoo. If Keller wants something, he takes it.
I want that club, do you understand?
Nobody can stand up to Keller. There is one man who can stand up to him.
Oh yeah, who's that?
The Mancunian.
Didn't know it was short.
Now we're really gonna work out.
You don't look very tough to me.
Who do you expect? Charles Bronson.
You look old. Too old.
Nobody tells Big Nick Rafferty when he's had enough to drink. Didn't know this was a gay bar.
It isn't.
What about those two pups there then?
That was the trailer to Grievous Bodily Harm, a movie you've probably almost never heard of because you can't find this fucker for love nor money. This movie opens exactly like a television show. I swear to God, doesn't this feel like a television show?
Yeah, it really does.
The music is like the Majesty's Secret Service theme, but done by Propellerheads. So it's this kind of, you know, that funky James Bond-ish sort of sound.
Yeah.
But then you take that and you get a cover done by, like, a marching band. That's essentially what the music is to this thing.
I wasn't really sure what genre to call the music. It's like, is this rock? Is this jazz? Is this swing? What the hell is
it? It's like 80s TV detective music, but with Bond. I mean, the first time I heard that, I was fucking cackling so hard, I almost busted a rib.
And so the movie is, well, you've got Cliff Twemlow. He is the star. He is playing Donovan, this hard as hell motherfucker from Manchester, called the Mancunian. And so he's just getting out of jail because he did some time for this club owner who apparently he needed his job done and Donovan did it for him.
6 months, by the way. Not a very long time.
Meanwhile, the nightclub scene in Manchester is being taken over by Keller, this hard motherfucker, crime boss sort of dude. And so him and his goons go into like a bar and they're like, yeah, I'm taking it over. And the bartender be like, no, fuck you. And then his goons come along and just whoop the shit out of him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the guy who owns the zoo.
Murray. The nightclub's owner's name is Murray.
He goes to Donovan and says, hey, man, I'll give you full wages and I'll give you a place to stay and I'll give you a job and you can be a head bouncer. Just come stop Keller from taking over my bar.
And one of the guys who works for him is named Chris, and Chris is Donovan's friend.
Yeah, Chris goes to pick him up at prison right as he's getting out, tells him his wife left him because he was in the pen. And he's like, oh, fuck, and he doesn't have a place to live. Oh, fuck, what am I going to do? He says, okay, look, you come with me. We'll go to Murray, and he'll fix you up.
You skipped the most important bit. So he gets out of the jail, and he says, where's my woman? And he's like, no, I don't know where he's gone. And so Donovan wanders around town beating the fuck out of people randomly as he busts into apartments. Like, this is her apartment. Kicks down the door. Hey, you're not my girlfriend. You're not my... are you sleeping with him? And beats the shit out of him.
Yeah, it's a couple of black guys, and he just basically pummels them into unconsciousness and then leaves. And it's like, what the fuck? And so when they finally do get... back to town, the first thing they do is go to one of the bars. And the bartender's like, oh, fuck off, Donovan. You know, and Donovan wants to smack him. Donovan has an anger management problem. You think?
Everybody in this movie has anger management issues.
But he is the poster boy. He has more anger management issues than anybody, with the possible exception of Keller.
If anybody pisses him off, they're dead meat. Dead meat! And after the brilliant opening that looks like a Canadian Cadbury Crunchy commercial, you know, when the thugs come in and beat the place to a pulp, Keller renames the place Sheila's. And it's only peopled by guys. And I was thinking, Sheila as in, like, the Australian word for woman? Or are they using it like Nancy, like gay? Because there's no women in this club.
However, I did love, speaking of the gay clubs, the writing in this thing is really fucking amazing. Because there's that one scene where Donovan goes to this other bar and tells the bartender, it's like, I didn't realize this was a gay bar. And the bartender turns around and is like, no, this isn't a gay bar. It's like, well, what about them two fags then? And the guy's just like, what the fuck? And they just start throwing fists.
Now, those two guys were a couple of guys that leaned on some people. And Donovan had to go back and clean house with their heads. He fucked them up with a bottle. That's where some of the video nastiness supposedly comes in. Because he broke a bottle over one guy's head and then slashed another guy with it.
And then, like, stabbed the third dude in the balls with the broken bottle. Okay, to tell you what the style and type and tone of this movie is. So Donovan is at the zoo, and he's just taken up his job of bouncing, and he's having a drink, and one of the waitresses comes over, and it's like, you're a little old to do this, aren't you? And Donovan grabs her by the arm, drags her into the bathroom, and starts fucking her right then and there. Mm-hmm. And then he comes out, and the bartender's like, where'd you go? Oh, I was just feeling the place out.
And then Chris takes one look at him. He's like pretty floored. He's like, you bastard. You barely got back. You've already scored.
Yeah.
Then to make it even better, there's this hellacious blonde who's doing some dancing and her man is leaning on her. He's being sleazy. And Donovan says, you got a choice. You can either get out now with all your teeth or lose a few or whatever. And so the guy bolts and the woman says, thank you. Kisses him on the cheek. And Chris is like, Jesus.
Or, like, when he takes the one waitress back to the bar. It's the main love interest for Donovan. And
Tracy.
And winds up banging her. And he's like, I want to take a moment and say something romantic. And she's like, go ahead. And he's like, you've got an amazing ass. I fucking love this movie.
And there's this one bit where, this is before he and Tracy have hooked up. He's at his place. He's got this gigantic, ginormous teddy bear. And he's talking to it, you know, and caressing it, putting it back. And he goes directly into
the dream. And he calls it Yogi, which I love.
He goes into this dream sequence where he's having sex with this blonde woman on this, you know, big bed. And they have some stylized music in there. And it's very romantic. And Donovan is a true romantic. I mean, he does the whole nine yards of being nice and everything. He's got a foul mouth, but he's basically good at heart.
But oh my God, there's so much male gaze in this movie. So much male gaze, just tons and tons of male gaze.
Oh, so much acid is just, you know, just, I mean, the dancers, you know, they tend to be the typical dance crowd in England. And so they concentrated on the sexiest women. And
it, oh just, my God, like, some of them are like, boobs. Whoa.
Holy crap, is there boobs and ass in this movie.
Especially the one girl that goes home with Chris.
The blonde, the Halle, she's the best of the two blondes, or the two or three blondes in the place. They definitely had a thing for her.
I also liked the nightclub singer.
And she,
the one in the black dress.
And she, the best part with the blonde is when she's dancing against a mirror by herself and just like bumping and grinding with this fucking mirror. But yes, you do bring up the nightclub. So Donovan and Tracy go out on a date and they go to this restaurant. It's the club or whatever. And the woman who was singing earlier in the movie, she gets her chance to actually come out and sing and be on camera a lot. I mean, they concentrated on her for most of the sequence.
So, stupid trivia time. Cliff Tlemolo is a true Renaissance man. He did the music to this. He wrote the song. He wrote all the music because he, in his before making movies, he was wrote jingles. He did the one song that I know both of you are going to know. He did the "I'm a Man" song from Dawn of the Dead.
I'm a man. Yes, I'm a man.
Yeah, he did that. So all the music in this movie was basically him.
That explains why it had such a unique feel to it.
Well, there were two other tremolos that worked on. One played a woman, one of the women in the bar. I think the one he banged first. And then the other one was a Chris tremolo, who I think was a production, worked in production. So it was definitely, you know, had that kind of family.
I have no information on the other tremolos in the movie. That is an unusual name, so I would almost certainly say they were related somehow, but I do not know.
Once Donovan gets back into circulation, then Keller sends his goons that busted up the zoo earlier, or busted up the first bar in the movie. He sends them after Donovan. And Donovan pretty much bullshits his way out of a direct confrontation until they start leaning on him.
Not even necessarily bullshits his way out of him. He completely intimidates them. It's like, I'm a hard motherfucker. You want to send your boys? Let's go. I got time to dance.
And and Keller is this fast, hard-talking man with a thick Cockney accent. One of the Cockney accents that I really love. The talk about the dialogue. I mean, this guy is just putting together words and sentences of bam, bam, bam. I love the pattern.
I swear this guy sprays spittle when he talks. He looks like that kind of guy.
So you mentioned how this movie has absolutely no money. And basically, that is 100% truth. Is that Chris wound up enlisting some friends. He worked on Coronation Street at Granada Studios in Manchester. And so what he did was, after his book that he wrote about his experiences as a bouncer got picked up, but he didn't like the result, he said, I can do much better than that. And so he got his friends from Granada and said, let's make a fucking movie. What they would do is they would go into, like, bars and say, hey, bartender, we talked to the manager last week. He said it's okay to shoot in here. If the bartender said, no, I'm the manager, I don't know what you're talking about, get the fuck out of my bar, he would, like, I must have made a mistake, my bad, and he would leave. If the bartender said, okay, that's fine, they would stay and shoot. So this is prime guerrilla shooting.
He completely BS'd his way in. That's awesome. So I didn't know that.
So all the club dancers are basically just real people. They're actually dancing their asses off for their own reasons. This is freaking brilliant.
That is awesome.
And one wonders what exactly... how much they prodded that one blonde dancer to dance against that mirror. Probably didn't take a lot.
There was probably an assortment of, okay, here are the people that are at the bar that aren't on our payroll, and here's the people we're actually paying. And I'm going to bet the dancer in the mirror is one of the paid people.
Another thing that I thought was fairly awesome about this movie is moments where there's actual character building development going on, mainly with Donovan, but there's this one scene that I particularly like. After Donovan basically decides to go after Keller and beat the shit out of all of his goons and him, if he can catch him, there's a scene with Murray and Tracy. They're together and they're talking, And they're saying, I'm worried about Steve. That's Donovan's first name. And, you know, they're both concerned about him because they know that he flies off the rocker and, you know, basically is an unstoppable train that gets himself into trouble.
But even with the constant throwing of fists and the bar fights and the gun fights and everything, this movie does take a moment to slow down and reflect like mm-hmm. that. Or like the scene earlier on that you were talking about where he slows down. It's like, I hate being this, you know, between the night and the day, this is what's left of me. Mm-hmm. Moments like that, I thought were really, really well done, even if it is a little ham-fisted and kludgy.
This movie has such a fast pace that it actually needs to put the brakes on sometimes just to let you get your breath.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a really good car chase scene between Donovan and the other the thugs, including a couple of guys on motorcycles, and then eventually Donovan gets out of the car. Actually, no, the car chase pretty much ends with Donovan pulling a reverse on these guys, and I believe
That's when he goes up into the woods and they start getting into the final gunshot fight.
And the one car that's chasing after him actually wrecked, and he was pretty much just jogging. He gets out of the car, jogs through the woods, and then the two motorcycles come after him, and the other guys get on foot. And the cinematography in this, I thought, was really good.
Again, that's getting back to the guerrilla shooting that this movie did, because how they did the car chase was like, fuck it, we'll just block off the road, and we'll drive like motherfuckers up and down the thing until somebody tells us to stop blocking off the road.
Well, they can... completely did this without permits
they bullshitted that move that way. Oh man,
the sad thing is that this will never ever see a DVD release or a Blu-ray release, because A, it was shot on video so it looks like crap, and B, what Cliff would do to get funding for his movie, he would go to the Movers and Shakers of Manchester and he would say, hey, how would you like to have 50% share in my movie? Hey, no problem. Here's some money. Hey, how would you like to have 50% share in my movie? No problem. Here's some money. How would you like 50%? How would you like 50%? He sold like 350% of his movie. Nobody knows where the rights to this damn thing are anymore.
It's unfortunate because this is a highly enjoyable film in many respects.
Yeah, it's a video nasty completists kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Is one that, the thing you need to have the entirety of your collection includes movies like this.
That's one of the joys of this list, is that all the weird undiscovered gems like this. I would have never, ever in a billion years found this, but it has made my life that much more happy and buoyant.
And I can see the influence of this movie on other movies, considering when this came out, Britain didn't have the kind of movies, action movies it has now, like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch, Boondock Saints, that kind of thing. This predates those movies, and it has the same kind of hard rock'em sock'em that you didn't get many American-made movies, or even Canadian ones, that were doing exactly that. I mean, this movie is loaded for bear with shit. The other movies of the type weren't as dense with fights and stuff.
I would say that the comparison to Lock, Stock, and like Snatch is a pretty fair and accurate one, because this one has a lot of blue-collar, cockney... sorry to the people who might be watching in the UK, because I have no idea if Manchester and Cockney are even close to each other. But it has the same sort of feel to it.
This movie has basically a whole list of maybe its firsts for, you know, the British film industry, that kind of film. Because they were coming out of the Hammer 70s, and there was a lot of, you know, the punk movement definitely had an effect on filmmaking. Things were becoming faster. You know, England had this kind of austerity thing with their filmmaking. And then you got these independents that come in and they do this really fast and really violent. And of course, naturally, England was going to sit up and take notice what's one of theirs, you know, that's coming and doing some of the damage.
And that gets back to this movie being the personification of male fantasy, because, you know, sharp-looking dude, a little old, fine, whatever, but sharp-looking dude surrounded by beautiful women who can't stop saying no to the poon. Oh, hell yes.
Yeah, this is a Bond movie starring Charles Bronson, directed by John fucking Woo.
So let's get into the admittedly kind of flimsy technical aspects of the movie.
Well, I love the music in this. I love the hard-driving disco music with the cowbell and stuff. It's got a good pace to it. You know, it's the kind of music that you can really just get into the scene. I also like the background music in the chase scenes. It has that very, we talk about Bond, it's got the action kind of hero music to it. I mean, they really nail it.
When we started out this episode, I did kind of rib on the James Bond theme via the marching band. That's accurate, but that kind of colors my opinion. I liked the music. I thought it was fine. It was goofy. It was kind of that low-rent jazz. It fit the movie.
Yeah, it was like a hard-boiled detective-sounding theme.
I suppose the one technical issue that I have with the movie is that it does slow down a little too much in places. A lot of the padding does drag the film down. The disco dancing was nice. I don't mind staring at beautiful women, and the music was fine, but it did kind of kill the momentum of the movie.
Yeah, based on their limited budget, they needed to have a certain amount of, I think, free usage. Since they were able to use these dancers, why not use them for as much time as they can for production value? You know, I mean, having a big cast, especially if you don't have to pay them, always adds production value to anything you're doing. Because it presumes that you got a whole bunch of people to come and work on your thing. Well, no, they were already there. We just used them. Maybe they threw a few pounds their way. The other thing I like is the sound effects. Whenever they do the fights, it's always the same sound. It's the...
Oh, you mean this sound effect?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Yeah, I mean, they had about three different sounds. They had the Hollywood crack, they had the and then they had
booch.
The booch.
I love the booch.
Then they had like breaking glass sound or something. I mean, it's freaking brilliant.
And then there was that kind of, that you took a shot to the solar plexus, oof, that the big guys had. So yeah, they had like four sound effects.
This is definitely a sound effects usage made by a tough guy who wants sounds made by tough guys. And he just used them over and over and over again.
You know, with the low budget nature of the movie, I have no doubt that Cliff Twemlow is in the back with a microphone going, booch, booch, booch.
Yeah, I wouldn't change a thing about this movie. Not a damn thing. If you up the ante on the sounds and stuff like that, it would fucking ruin it.
So, do we have any final thoughts then on GBH? Or
it's a movie only a Manchester bouncer could have made.
That's fair. That is entirely fair. For a one-man operation, that's a succinct summary.
And I've never even met a bouncer from Manchester.
A Mancunian man.
Yeah, and there were two. The other guy was a Mancunian. The, what's his name? The lead thug with the mustache. I believe Keller called him a Mancunian. So apparently it's a type of fighter, or they're from Manx Island or something. I don't know.
Or it's a Maine Coon cat. All right, so are we finished? Are we done?
Yeah,
is that everything we need to say?
I'm
done. All right, I think we're done. All right, we're done. So, Ashley, would you seize GBH, or do you let it alone?
Nah, this movie's tame.
Yeah, but a dude got knifed in the balls by a broken bottle.
Yeah, but most of the violence is either point of view, or it's just hits and stuff, but any of the really nasty stuff is more implied.
And you, would you seize it or leave it alone?
I would leave it alone. I can see why this movie would be on the video nasty list, because of the violence and the fact that it is in England. But I also, you know, like we discussed earlier, it's not something that is really all that objectionable to me, but I can really understand why the censor types might object to this. You know, it would portray England in a poor light.
Well, I think what would upset the censors is that this movie is sympathetic to the blue collar and the crime elements of society. And of course, your uptight Mary Whitehouses of the world would be like, oh no, we can't acknowledge that crime and blue collar people exist. So that's why they would get upset at this.
I think there are things that are much more hardcore in movies made for kids than there is in this movie made for an adult.
All right, we'll leave it alone. This is fucking harmless. Fucking harmless movie. Did you like GBH?
Almost all of it.
Almost all of it. Implying then that there's a faction of it that you don't like?
Yes, there is. For the most part, the first 99% of the movie is great.
You didn't like the ending?
This is a great movie. It has really solid acting. The characters are all good. Even secondary characters are engaging and interesting. The plot's good. The writing is good. The okay, admittedly, I do have a few minor issues regarding the sound and the lighting and the cinematography, but in terms of actual storytelling, this is a great movie, except for the ending, which I did not like at all.
What about the ending didn't work for you then, Brad?
You got this whole movie, and you're falling in love with Donovan. He's a great character. I really enjoyed watching him. He's suave and debonair. He looks good in a suit. He's a great fighter. He's got charm. He's got charisma. He's a great guy. And then all of a sudden, there's the cops, and they're busting him. And you're not really sure whether he dies or not, but you're pretty sure that he does. And it's like, oh my God, I liked this character. He was a great hero. And then fade to black.
So did you dig the GBH?
I dug the hell out of this movie. This is the kind of low to no budget action movie I like. This is probably not the first shot on video feature. That would be Lunch Meat. But cannibal zombies aside, this movie is freaking awesome in many ways. I like the same things Brad liked about it. I thought it was really well made, well paced. You know, I love the dance scenes. Oh my God, I love the club scenes.
Oh,
that blonde in
good.
The black dress. Holy shit, she was fucking hot.
I will freely and without reservation admit that this movie has a huge host of problems, a metric ton of problems. However, it's fun, it's briskly paced, and it doesn't wear out its welcome. The 74 minutes, it's in, it's out, it's done.
These guys went in loaded for bear, doing what they intended to do, and every single penny was well spent. It's all there on the screen, everything they intended.
This is a very solid film. I enjoyed the hell out of it, except for the ending.
I personally like the ending. It's like the European. It's very European. It's very ambiguous. It's not necessarily an ending, because you don't know what the hell happens. Did he get shot? Did he not get shot? You don't know. You assume he did because he's had two shotguns aimed at him at point-blank range.
All right, so you guys would recommend the movie?
Oh,
even
hell yes.
With the,
definitely.
All right, too bad you just can't get a hold of it. But yeah, no, it's well worth your time to find out and seek out.
This is fucking awesome.
Yeah, whatever. Sadly, that's the last Cliff Twemolo movie on the list, and that's a damn shame, because The Eyes of Satan looks amazing. Next week, the Video Nasty Project goes back to school. You made it through the dorm to drip blood? Well, why don't you see if you can survive graduation day? So, drop us an email, tell us your, submit your final report card, thank you very much, name's in the upper right corner, thevideonastyproject@gmail.com, and we'll catch you next week. Until that time, please, stay evil.
Looks like one of your dogs is becoming restless, Keller. Maybe he wants to go outside for a piss.
I'll smash the bastard.
If he can stand the pain, I don't mind the exercise.